I've made a couple trips, Mexico, 1998, as part of a delegation for 12 days, and my last one was to Bogota, Colombia in 2002. I kind of got the feel that what you're looking for is what is it that the unions are doing, and particularly, I guess, the steel workers, to address cross-border issues. And since we have people to talk about Mexico, I'll just stick with the Bogota, okay? I guess for me it's easier just to tell you what I seen and what I observed and what happened in meetings. We were there for a little less than a week, and we met with union members all over in meetings, and we met with all the big shots in politics, you know. I forgot all their titles because I'm not really big on titles, you know, and stuff like that. But I do have them in my notes. The things that stood out in our minds were, for example, where we went to meet with the unions were the windows were all bulletproof, something that we don't have here. The windows were bulletproof. They are in awe of the United States and being able to have union meetings and not have bulletproof windows, something that they don't have. The entire time that we were there, we were going in a van, but we had a vehicle in front of us and a vehicle in back of us. And in those vehicles, they were armed with machine guns. People who were armed were both men and women there to protect us. And more so, I think they were there to protect their union leaders because they were the most at risk. But one of the sad parts of that was that the union leaders there, since there's no trust, there's so much corruption within the government, many of the guards, security guards, were their own family members, their nieces, their nephews, very close friends. And one of the leaders was telling us about his nephew who had been shot up his legs. He was disabled. He was very young now. And they had to take him to Cuba so he could heal and not be murdered. He was one of the guards protecting them. When we got there, some of the people that we were supposed to meet with weren't able to meet with us because they had been negotiating at one of the companies, and they saw the paramilitary in the area. And in most Latin American countries, the companies bus workers in and bus them out. And the union leaders there had asked the company if they could stay on site overnight, or at least until the paramilitary left the area, because they were fearful for their life. And the company's response was no, and they gave no reasoning for it. Well, the security guards at the facility also went to the company and told them, yes, they're around, and we believe they will kill them. You should let them stay. Again, the company's response was no. So the bus took the load of workers off the facility. It was manned with approximately 40 passengers. The paramilitary came to the bus, stopped the bus, called the president out by name, shot him one time in the middle of the head, killed him in front of everybody aboard. Then they took the vice president with them. They found him the following day dead on the side of the road. Colombia is the number one murder capital of the world for labor leaders. We were very impressed by Colombian lawyers and activists who fight for human rights. In 1 year alone, they had a stack of books from the top of here to here of human violations. They correlate these, they work together, and they were all factual. We were able to meet with one woman who had been in prison for 7 years for no reason other than she was a union leader. Union leaders typically disappear or are tortured or murdered there. We were able to meet with another union leader who was walking through town. They realized he was a union leader. They started shooting at him, so he ran into the police station, which was kind of a funny situation because, of course, the government's crooked and they'll help you kill, but since it was broad daylight and he ran in, the police couldn't just shoot him down there. So they had no alternative but to let him sit in the chair. Say he sat there for several days in the chair in the police station until the union could bring in a helicopter to take him out. We met with three school teachers and a board of other teachers, but three school teachers who were still alive. There was a list of 30 teachers that was given to be murdered. And the funny thing about when I said we met with all these big shots, like the embassy leaders and their governors and, you know, all the people with the big titles in government, they all agreed that they all knew the names of the people who were on these lists that supposedly weren't associated with the government who would be killed. So they knew that these 30 teachers would be killed. It took them 2 weeks to kill them, except for the three that we met with. And so we were able to talk to them, and those three teachers who survived, the steel workers, were able to get them out of the country. We have some people in the United States, and we have some people in Colombia. So what we generally do is we get them into the country, we try to get them educated, we get see if they can go out talking. I understand Lewis would have been here today, and he is from Colombia, but he's speaking, I understand, in California today. They were trying to kill him, and it took, he had a wife and his daughter. He had to leave in Colombia, and after 2 years, he was finally able to see, they brought them here too, thank God. He's able to be with his family. So, you know, I don't know what more I could really tell you except for the point there is fear. I guess I'll tell you this because I'm a very honest person. This is very ugly, but it's factual. The teacher said that the paramilitary come into all of these communities. They decide to take over. And the reason they attack teachers so much is because they're one of the biggest unions. And, of course, the way to change is to educate people and let them know what's going on, and then they will change. Their number one tactic, of course, is fear. And they said they went into the grade school. And they killed the teacher in front of the grade school students. And then they took the little boys and hung them up by their testicles in the classroom until they died. And then they tell all the people in the town that all of you will be off of the street at this particular time. This is a curfew. So there are very harsh realities for them. I couldn't help but believe that I or anybody I was with who was a steel worker in the delegation could have the courage that these people would have day in and day out to fight for unionism and the things that they believe in and against all odds. But they do. And I kind of felt ashamed because I can't imagine anybody in the United States, or at least me, having the kind of strength and guts and courage that they have to go on. And what surprised me was they were so proud and looked up to all the people here in this room and through the United States because they said that they the things that gave them hope, of which all people need is hope to go on, they said that our fight against NAFTA and the fast track and the different things that we have all done, our different movements, the things that they are able to read about, the accomplishments and achievements of the people here, are what give them kind of the wind beneath their wings that gives them the strength to keep on going. And that's it, because I could go on and on about horrible things that happened there, but I think you've got the point, and there are other speakers. Thank you.